So you're the world famous Steve Alexander, who's into crop circles. How come?
Well, as a young boy, I was interested in the paranormal, UFOs, etc., and had various sightings, and I read many books on the subject. And in 1981, I saw my first crop circle near Winchester in England. And really, it was a follow-on because the two subjects, crop circles, UFOs, were at the time thought to be linked. And naively, maybe they were regarded as UFO landing marks. They were just simple circles in the crop. And I was fascinated. And so were the media, and so were the public. And these were just simple circles in the early 80s. Then in 1990, we had the massive crop circle in Eastfield in Oulton Barnes in England, which is famous for being on the Led Zeppelin album cover and the heavy metal band. And the media were fascinated by the crop circles. And I went to Oulton Barnes and I saw this crop circle. And just over the back is a place called Allington Down. And I went to visit there and I was lucky enough to film Luminosity in daylight. And this was the first time that this luminosity was captured on film. And from that day on, I was hooked on the crop circle subject. But it was only till 93 that I picked up my first camera and started taking photographs. And in 94, I actually lost my job, my full-time job. And so I just decided to spend the whole of 1994 out in the fields and to do photography. And when I showed my first set of photographs, people said, "Can we buy them?" And I said, "Well, yes." And it started from there. I was going to the famous Barge Inn, which is a public house in Oulton Barnes, where all the crop circle enthusiasts used to meet. I used to go in with a case of photographs and just sell out of a case. And it started from there. And there was a demand for images of the crop circles. And I thought it was important to spread the word, if you like, and get the crop circles into the media. And just basically by selling photographs and selling images to the media to get the crop circle subject publicity, because I thought it was very important. And I thought it was a genuine mystery. I didn't know the answer. I still don't know the answer, but I believe it's very important. And my job then and still is to actually give the subject publicity and spread the word, if you like. And that's really basically how it all started and how it's continuing. I'm not a researcher as such. Researchers use my images, but I just capture the crop circles on film and film them via video. And for posterity, for generations ahead, there will be a record of the crop circles, which I feel is important.
So you said you were the first person to actually capture light bulbs on video. Could you elaborate on that? Where were you?
Yeah, it's near a place called Milk Hill, near Oulton Barnes, which is a famous location for crop circles. And I was just basically walking across the downs to look at the crop circle from the hill. And it was July the 26th, 1990, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was actually about to go home, and I saw this glint out the corner of my eye, and I thought, "What's that?" And I picked up the camera just automatically and started filming. It was this bright object which was actually moving across the heads of the crop, and it arced round and then dropped into the crop, and it was glinting and flashing. It was very intense. It's like silver foil with sunlight reflecting off it. And it went into the crop and it was glinting and flashing, and then it suddenly moved. And this was all on film, I was filming this. And suddenly it stopped, and I thought it was going to stay there. And then suddenly it moved again, and then suddenly it took off. I flew across the field, and in the distance was a tractor driver. And this object flew over the tractor driver in the distance and just disappeared. When I got home, I played it back on the video recorder, and I thought, "This is really bizarre." And at that time, the most well-known researcher was Colin Andrews, and I phoned him up and told him about it, and he came round to my house, and he looked at the video, and he took it away, and he had it analyzed in Japan by Nippon Television, and and he also went to interview the tractor driver. And he found the tractor driver, and he was really pleased because no one believed him that he saw this object. And he said that when he saw it coming towards him, it was as big as a beach ball, and it was flashing and glinting as it went over the top of him. And his engine and his, on his tractor cut out. And he said he just couldn't understand why he just carried on. He was almost in a dream as this object flew over him. And he told everyone about it, but no one believed him. So he had no idea I was on the hill filming the object. But that was the first time that it was ever captured on film. And since, there's been many sightings, and now everyone's got a camcorder. It's more likely that these objects are going to be filmed. But it seems to be always in and around crop circles. It seems to be the catalyst for these sightings. So whether they make them or are attracted to them, we don't know, but they are most bizarre. And that they are nothing mundane. I think they are something unexplained.
So what do the farmers say?
Some of the farmers are angry because they think they're man-made by people, and they think it's vandalism. And they don't like people going into their fields, which is understandable because it is trespass. And if a lot of people go in at once without asking permission, it's quite understandable that farmers get angry. But a lot of farmers put an honesty box in a field where you put your £2 in and you can go in and look at the crop circle. But I will say, if you do go to visit a crop circle, try and get permission from the farmer and keep to the tractor lines and don't walk across the field, because that will make the farmer really angry. Be respectful when you go into, what you're doing is going onto some other person's property, so you have to be respectful. The more people that do that, the easier it will be to get access into the crop circles, because some farmers won't allow it, because too many people are disrespectful to their land. So that's what I would say. But some farmers, they live with it. They know it's not going to stop. They get very angry, and that, you know, they become very agitated about the whole situation, but it's not going to stop. It started in this area probably in 1990 and has gone right through to 2008. So there's no signs it's going to stop. So some farmers say, well, you can't beat it, so just put an honesty box in the field, pay your money and go in. So, but some farmers are still angry.
Now, my very last question, I promise. You said many farmers think it's man-made. And there's people who, you know, claim that they have done all of the crop circles in the region with a bar. And what do you think of that?
Well, it's possible. Highly unlikely. But anything's possible. But it doesn't explain everything. If people make them all, then you have to explain why the balls of light. You know, why do people have these experiences? Possible that people make them and then afterwards something else happens. I don't know. Could people make these formations in the middle of the night with the hours of darkness only about 4 hours before it gets light without getting spotted, and make these fantastic formations about 500 feet across without being seen? I don't know. Seems unlikely, but I wouldn't rule it out. But I don't know, you see. I don't know. If there are people doing it, they're organized, committed. This has been going on for almost 25 years. No one knows who they really are, apart from one group who does mainly commercial work. It's been going on a long time, and there's not really any evidence to suggest they are man-made, all of them. So, as they say, the jury's out. I think the door's open to believe it if you wish that they're all man-made, which is the easy option. The more difficult option is they're not man-made, and it's something else that we don't understand. And some people find that scary. So I've got an open mind on it, but people have to ask the question, can people make these large formations in a short period of darkness in the summer months? Can they do it? You know, it is possible, because people can do many, many amazing things, but if they are doing it, I don't think they're doing it as a prank. I think they do it for other reasons. The old joke is people get drunk and they go out in the field and they have fun and make a crop circle. I don't think it's that at all. I think if it is that, it's completely different. But, you know, it's hard to believe that all this is just people, you know. And I say it's the other things as well you've got to explain. So it's not simplistic like that, but best to keep an open mind. Mm. I think it's wrong to say they're all man-made or they're all genuine. You know, you keep an open mind and look at each one differently. And but of course also to enjoy it, go in and experience it.
Okay, I have to ask you
another. No, I'm sorry, I just didn't mean to start going again.
What would you like mankind to do about this?
I think it's important that we get out this rut we're in, this rut situation that humanity is in at the moment, economically, environmentally, and basically to anything that can expand the mind, move people on to think about different issues and all sorts of things. I mean, crop circles are like flatten crop. People go in, people don't talk to each other normally, but you get people into a crop circle, they talk to strangers that open up the first time, probably, you know, in their lives. It's like a church. People come together and they meet and they talk, and then, and that's great. Need more of that. And the crop circles are just one thing to help humanity improve, if you like, you know, just to live a better life. I've seen it all the time. People go into crop circles, their life changes, and they talk to each other, they communicate, they become interested in wider issues. So, you know, that's positive. So, you know, the more I can do this to help that process, you know, that's what I do. You know, because a lot of negativity is on the television and in the media about, you know, every old politics, environment. There's a lot of negativity around. So this is light, this is positive. And unfortunately, people every day get this media coverage of negativity. If it's terrorism, environment, a lot of negativity, you know, coming out of this, the media. This is positive. It actually gets you away from television, the radio, and newspapers, the media, and focusing on this, I think it's positive. A slow process, but, you know, you do what you can.
And you're doing very well.
Very well. I'm doing my best, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
I better get out now.